either of y'all have kids? Sometimes the 3-year old just wakes up and is like, no, I will not be cooperating today. And so it just didn't work.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 184 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and even though I am 26, I'm just a fucked up kid who loves the Wonder Years.
Are you 26?
I am 26, yeah.
You are a fucked up... Do you love the Wonder Years?
I do.
All of that fucking checks out perfectly. Yeah. It's mad. Yes, this week's guest is Dan Soupy Campbell of the fantastic band The Wonder Years. What a great chat this turned out to be. What a great band they are. Just hearing all of the love from other bands about them and from them about other bands has been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yes, Dan's lyrics have been sketched on notebooks to use as photo captions and tattooed on a lot of my friends over the last decade. And the Wonder Years Pennsylvania style of hardcore pop punk has truly captured a community of accepting music fans since their inception. And to me, everything they do feels a little bit extra special. So with the band returning to the UK for Slam Dunk Festival this weekend, playing their classic albums The Upsides and Suburbia, I've given you all and Now I'm Nothing in full. Soupy took some time to talk to us about a lot of unbelievable adventures, wholesome moments, and songwriting secrets. And Sean, I think you can agree with me that whatever Dan does, whether it's the Wonder Years, Aaron West and the Roaring Twenties, or just everyday tasks, there's a lot more thought for other people in everything.
He is genuinely one of the most beautiful people we've ever spoken to, I think. What an absolute sweetheart and all-round good egg. Yeah, it was just great to catch up and talk about everything that's going on with the Wonder Years, Aaron West, and Dan himself. So yeah, this is a fantastic chat that I enjoyed very much.
Yes, and we're going to talk about everything from how some of their most famous songs have come to him in dreams, everyday mishaps, how Wales is almost like a second home to him, the anniversary of The Upsides and Suburbia, DIY mentality, Russia, wrestling, fatherhood, and even Hank the Pigeon. So we're all guests discussed in this podcast, but we need to give a mahoosive shout out to one of our Patreon members and beloved mutual friend, Adam, King of the Goths Parslow, for making this one happen.
Yes, thank you very much to Adam. He is very friendly with Dan from his time in South Wales' finest pop punkers, Save Your Breath. So yes, he put us in touch and we ended up having a fantastic chat where we also go on to discuss Adam later on. Adam is now in a fantastic band called The Nightmares, which you should all check out. It was mad to hear Dan talking about places that I visit, I frequent quite a bit, and talking about his love for people I know and the pub and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a fantastic, fantastic chat. I enjoyed this one very, very much. And I cannot wait to see them play Slam Dunk this weekend. Or if you are downloading this the day it came out, tonight.
Yes, exactly. And they're going to be playing both The Upsides and Suburbia in full now at both Slam Dunk dates. If you've missed the news, unfortunately, our good friends in Motion City Soundtrack have had to pull out. Boo. But the Wonders are now going to be doing two sets back to back, playing both these albums in full at both shows. So that's a lot of work for them. That's a lot of songs, but I'm excited to sing along to it. And of course, before we go straight into this conversation, get you excited for Slam Dunk. If you're on the drive today to Leeds or you're driving tomorrow, Hatfield, listening to it after the weekend and you're very hangover, please go and check out what we've been up to this week via our social media pages at Sapling Pod, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and give us some support via our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapling.
I completely fucking forgot about the TikTok again. We're a one-hit wonder. We had the first one went up and it's had 1.5 million views, right? So I was like, yes, I am the king of TikTok. Give me my crown. Posted the second one, it's had about 38,000 views, which I'm all right with, but it's not 1.5 million. I'm finished it. And then I posted a really funny one of me and you from when we went to Bristol and you were reading the Kate Bush How to Be Invisible book and then you go invisible. And yeah, that's on about 3,000 views. So our TikTok career might have lasted a week, if I'm honest. But we are going to keep trying updating it. So keep an eye out on that. Give it a follow. As he said, on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Sapnipod, at SAPPENINPOD.
Yes, and support us with our Patreon page for more bonuses. We're going to be doing meetups at a lot of festivals over the next couple of weeks, including Slam Dunk, Download, the Heavy Music Awards. It's all going on. So patreon.com/sapling is the best way to support us. But enough about all of that. Let's get in to this wonderful, deep, and heartfelt conversation with Mr. Dan Soupy Campbell of the Wonders on episode 184 of Sapnin Podcast.
Lovely stuff. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Very good egg, this boy. Very, 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 very good egg.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sapnin. Yes!
Yay!
This week's guest is Lansdale, Pennsylvania's King of Pop Rock.
Ooh.
Dan Soupy Campbell. Dan, how are you?
I'm wonderful, man. I was just telling everybody right before we started that I am late to this. That we're supposed to, well, one, I'm like weeks late, right? Because we were supposed to do it weeks ago and we got the time zones wrong.
Yeah. I have moved since. I've been here waiting.
Just waiting.
Yeah, to be fair.
Staring at the screen. He's going to come on any minute.
Yeah. Soupy.
And then my 3-year-old was uncooperative this morning. So I was a half an hour late to this. And so really what I want to say is that I am clearly the asshole here. And I'm very, very sorry for eating up all of your time.
No, don't be silly. It's the life of a pop rock dad these days, I guess. You know, you've got a lot of responsibility outside of music to look after for.
Yeah. We have a 3-year-old and a 7-month-old now. And they keep me busy.
I'm sure they do. Well, before we get into things really, Dan, we should give a massive shout out to our mutual friend, Adam Parslow of the Nightmares and Save Your Breath fame, helping us all connect and doing this podcast. A massive love to him. And I want to start by really mentioning that every time I've seen the Wonder Years perform in Wales, you always do like a bit of that set where you dedicate it to the city of Newport, the venue, Le Pub, and Save Your Breath as a band. Can you just like explain that? Is it just a love that goes back to the early days coming over here?
It does, because I think a thing that is true of our band that is not true of a lot of US bands is that when we started touring in the UK, it was DIY as hell, right? Like there's no agent, there's no work visas. It was illegal as shit. Like just like coming in with a suitcase full of merch and just being like, those are my shirts. I wear the same shirt every day, like Doug Funny. We used to not bring guitars because like it would look too suspicious. Well, we will just borrow guitars. Because I had no idea how to go about getting a work visa. The first tour we did, a band called Never So True wanted to do the tour with us, and Simon booked it, and everything about it was illegal. Just like truly. Also, I will get to Save Your Breath on this. I'm sorry. It's a little long winded. And so we're like, okay, how are we going to do it? I had never really even flown before. I'd never left the country. I had to get passports. I was like 19, 20 years old. And so we go, okay, it'll look weird if it's 6 of us. So we'll come over in 2 shifts. And so I went over a couple of days early with a couple of the guys, but we could only afford it was like a £7 a night hostel off Hyde Park in London. And we spent like a week where every morning we'd wake up and we would go to the Tesco and buy a communal baguette and a block of cheese. And everyone would buy their own apple. And that's what we would eat that day. It's like, we'd like cut up the cheese and bag and eat this apple. Wow. Which is like so broke. And so, so then the other 2 guys came over and like the only thing we had at that point, we had the microcord and we had to sneak that over. And the first show we get to, we asked them if they have a power adapter and they did. They didn't have a power converter, right? So we plugged it in and it changed the prongs. It did not change the voltage. Immediately the microcore starts smoking. We open it up, it's just melted. The next morning we went and bought a toy keyboard from I forget what you call them over there. We call it like a Goodwill here. But like a secondhand store where things are sold. So we bought this toy keyboard. We brought it to the venue the next day in New York. The sound guy was like, I can do something with this. And he hit it with a hammer to break open the little speaker that was on it. And then took the wires from the speaker and cut open an instrument cable and soldered them into the instrument cable so he could run the toy keyboard through the PA. And then it wasn't tuned to A440. So before the set, we had to tune to the toy keyboard. This is just an idea of like how DIY these tours were, right? We're doing it. Simon rented the van. He wasn't legally old enough to rent a van. So he rented it from a guy named Dodgy Dave. And he'd also never driven a van. The van is supposed to seat 7. We have 10 people, all the gear and all the luggage in there. And he crashed it 3 times over the course of the tour. Honestly, a really sweet kid. One time I told this story and he got mad at me thinking that I was like bummed about it. I was just like, no, I really love you. You were a bad driver. You have to admit that that was bad driving. You crashed the van 3 times. There's like I found a journal entry that I wrote because I had to sit in this seat way, way in the back. I was like really far away from everyone. And I had to sit like my knees to my chest with a bass cab in front of me and the kick drum to my right and the window to my left. And the way that I had this journal entry that I wrote that was like, I think I might actually die in this van. So if I do, and I wrote like a letter to my mom.
Oh no.
And so that's like how DIY we were touring. And we did like 5 tours like that, where I was booking the dates eventually. And we did a lot of them with All or Nothing, and a lot of them with Save Your Breath. Getting to Newport and getting to Le Pub, and like they just embraced us and like were like, this can be your home right now. Like I know that you know, y'all feel very unmoored and like you're just like literally like exhausted, and they just took care of us and made us feel so comfortable and cared for. And that was such a big deal at a time where like you're on the other side of the world, you're as broke as you could possibly be. You're sleeping on floors, you're sleeping in parking lots on the grounds. It was really true like DIY shit touring. And so them taking care of us is like an act of kindness that like I won't soon forget. And that's why we always shout out Save Your Breath. We shout out Newport. We shout out Le Pub, because, you know, we don't really play Newport now. We play Cardiff or, you know, something like that. And, but we want to make sure people know that like without those places, we wouldn't be this place.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, your first tour story is a nightmare. Like it's enough it's enough for most people to go, do you know what? Fuck going back to the UK. I'm never going back there again. And then, yeah, it just so happens that Sam from Le Pub is a legend, and so are the Save Your Breath boys. So yeah, I'm glad that you met those fantastic people, because it could have been so much worse, I guess, if you hadn't met those people, or you met some of the dicks that live in Newport, because there's quite a few dicks that live in Newport as well.
Yeah. So. Oh, I didn't realize that too. And like, I was walking through Newport once with Tom and Ben from Save Your Breath. And, you know, we're from Philly. Like we talk shit, and, I'm walking past people, and I was just like, kind of like amblingly staring off. And some guy was like, what the fuck are you looking at? And I spun back. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, I mean, just like immediately, like, I'm like, all right, let's do. And like, they had to be like, no, we're not going to do this thing right now. There's a story of like, I was standing with two of their friends, and I can't remember their names now because it's been like 12 years, but we were standing at kind of like the end of an alleyway and outside Le Pub, and a car came like running up the thing and almost hit the three of us. And this girl that was standing there with us, like used her bag to hit the back of the car. And these three security guards for like, I guess a club next door got out and started like screaming at her. And then I was like, no, you're not going to talk to her like that. You know, at this point in my life, we're so broke that I'm eating like once a day. I'm like 120 pounds soaking wet. And I'm trying to talk shit to these three. I'm like, I'm going to fucking die. Right. But like, there's nothing, I have to do it. So I'm like in this guy's face, just waiting for the moment where I black out from his fist hitting the side of my head. The guy that ran the skate shop in Newport. And again, I feel so bad because it's been so long. I don't remember the name.
Grim, I believe.
Grim. It was Grim. Grim runs over, and the guy's standing there with his car door kind of ajar, kind of in that space. And Grim runs over and slams the car door on the guy's leg. And just like everyone realizes what's happening. And like all of Save Your Breath, All or Nothing, and a band that at the time was called In This for Fun, but turned out to be a band called Basement. And all of the people at the show start surrounding us. And like, I was like, these people have my back, right? Like I wasn't going to let their friend get yelled at by this like dickhead, like jock security guard, and was just ready to get utterly annihilated by these three non-gentlemen. And then them coming over and they saved me right away. And I was like, okay, these people have my back.
Nice. Incredible. Well, honestly, you're an honorary Welshman, I guess, for all those stories.
I appreciate it. I'm going to start putting a bunch more Y's in my words and W's.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Just get those vowels after those words now. Just consonants. That's all you need. Jesus.
But,
yeah.
But talking about the early days, really, the Wonder Years have recently been celebrating the Upsides and Suburbia, two of your kind of earliest breakthrough records. You just did anniversary tours over in the States playing these albums in full. I mean, how has it been like revisiting those tracks now, going back to some you haven't probably played in a while, and just what those albums mean to a lot of people? Because I think they were kind of a vocal point in the Wonder Years expanding to different territories, especially over here in the UK, and you're going to be playing them in full at the different dates at Slam Dunk.
Mm-hmm. We are. And we're also going to play both of them at a one-off show in like a warm-up show in Bournemouth, us and Pink Shift, which will be cool. I'm really excited to get to play Pink Shift. But yeah, I mean, it's been kind of a trip, like, because we also hadn't been on tour in 2 years. So it was like, you haven't played in so long, and now we're playing these kind of marathon sets, these like 2 hour sets of these two full albums. I guess part of the first thing that struck me when I went back to listen to them was just like how different my voice sounded a decade ago, and like how much I've grown as a vocalist. And I was like, ooh, I wish I could re-record all of it. That is not, but I mean, the reaction to it was the coolest part, because we had this in our head. We're like, okay, it's going to be cool, right? The shows are going to be cool. But what happens when we start playing like track six, right? Like the non-single tracks, will the room quiet? I mean, obviously there will be people here who know every song, but like how many of them? And I now know the answer after 40 shows. It's all of them. They all fucking know every song. It never got any quieter. The whole night stayed the same energy level. It was truly unbelievable to see. I mean, and a lot of people, I saw a lot of people like, I haven't been to a show in 10 years. Like I, you know, this was around the time where I stopped going to shows and I had to come back for this record. And now I might go again just because it's such a, I think also it's like the environment was so positive. Everyone was so happy to be there after so long of not attending shows, and to get to come back and be a part of like these anniversary events for these like records that were seminal for so many people was really, really like, I felt like there was a special energy in the room, like night in and night out. And we like tried to prep for it. Like it's, you know, I'm 36 now. So to do 2 hours and, you know, however many songs that was, like 28, 30 songs a night, because we were doing like encores too. So before the tour, I was getting on an exercise bike and keeping a 20-mile-an-hour pace on the bike while singing the set, because like, I'm sure you know, like it's, you can't recreate playing live. Like the way your body responds to the adrenaline of being on stage and the way you have to change how you hit and support notes when you are winded from jumping around is just different. Like you can have a million rehearsals, you'll never build up the specific muscle strength to do that. And like, this was the closest like corollary I could draw, was to literally just get on an exercise bike and go until I was out of breath and then scream for an hour in my basement along to these songs. It was like, when, oh shit, y'all don't do baseball. But when people are warming up in baseball, everyone knows, right? It's the game with the bat, right? You hit the ball with the bat. Yeah, and when they're warming up, maybe people do it with cricket too, right? Like, I don't know. But like, they would warm up with like three bats in their hands, or they would put weights on the bats, use heavier bats, so that it was, right, okay. so that when they went to actually swing, it wasn't as hard. Well, I did the, we down tune now, but I did them at record pitch. So it was like, when I got to stage, I was like, well, I've been practicing for weeks up a whole step from this. So now I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I've used that technique being used before. My friend Jason Perry, who's a record producer, he produced the records by McFly. And when they were writing the songs, apparently the singer Tom couldn't hit the top note. What Jason did was he got a demo of the song, but pitched it up, and then give it to Tom to sing in his car. So Tom was trying his best to get it in the car. And then when he eventually did get there, came back to Jason's like, oh yeah, I've got there. And he's like, ha-ha, you didn't even need to go that high. Tricked you. But yeah, it's a genius technique, really.
Yeah, to see what you're capable of. But yeah, it's also like, I think that people assume that, you know, you sing with your throat and your lungs, but there's so many more muscles involved. And like, even more than you realize, like when we were on this tour, we're in LA and I did the thing I do 100 times a night, right? I was on the riser. I jumped real high. I landed. I do it all the time, but I landed and something was weird. And I immediately, like, my shoulder and neck locked up. I couldn't look left or down. And I had to play the rest of the set just like, okay, I guess I'll just look to my right sometimes.
Standing there. Like, oh.
And then I went to sleep and I woke up the next morning and was like, I can't move at all. Like my whole upper body is like stuck. I needed like help getting out of my bunk. I had to go see a physical therapist and like all.
Oh, wow.
And then like there were, most of the set I could sing, but there were a few notes that like, you don't realize how much you use like your shoulder muscles sometimes to like get yourself over the hump of some of those high notes. And like, I would go to sing and it would lock up back here. And like, I can't hit that note. I don't have access to these muscle groups that I use to like strengthen my core and support the note.
But going back to the Upsides and Suburbia, obviously like those records were released a year after each other. And that must have been such a super busy, monumental time for the band because you were touring all over the place and you put out these two really big records right after each other. What's some of your like fondest memories of that time? Because I'm sure it was just kind of hectic in many ways.
It was a true blur. I think, so we did an Upside Suburbia box set reissue. And in it, there was like this like 30-page book of like all of the, you know, just old photos, uncovered stuff, like essays I wrote about that time period and talking about it. But maybe my favorite part of it is the center section, which is a calendar of those 2 years where we mark off every date that we were somewhere doing something. We were either in the studio, writing, or on tour. And it's like 85% of it. And we finished making the Upsides and went on tour. Basically didn't come back until we were writing Suburbia. So we toured for basically like, so we finished writing the Upsides or finished recording the Upsides in like August and then went on tour September, October, November, took a little break before releasing the record. And so like November, December into January, I remember I went back to my like job when I was in community college working at like a retirement home in the kitchen and, was sleeping on the floor of my mom's office. We put the record out. And right before we put it out, Hopeless had hit us up. So I had sent them an email like a year before that. And it was just like, why won't you listen to my fucking band? I was like a total dick about it. I was like, I don't understand. I keep sending you, you know, we do pretty good, right? We've toured the UK 4 times and we toured Russia and it's all DIY. Like, and we toured the US a bunch and both of our 7 inches are totally sold out. Like everything, like, why won't you listen to us? And Eric from Hopeless answered the email and he said, because you didn't attach any songs.
With help.
And so I was like, okay, touche. Here is the 7-inch. I sent him Will Be Pathetic Forever. And he said, hey, these songs are really good. Let me know when you have a full length. And I thought, well, that was a really polite brush off, right? He obviously doesn't really like it, but it was nice of him to say that. And then we released the first single for the full length and we were playing this show with Crime and Stereo and Hostage Calm. And I checked my phone and I had an email from Eric from Hopeless. And he said, I thought you were going to send me the full length when it was done. This song is great. I was like, holy shit. I thought you were being nice. And so they, before the record even came out, they were trying to buy the rights from it and sign us for the next record. And because of that, they were like, you got to make another one pretty much right away. So we released the Upsides and then I'm going to do my best to get this right, but I'm probably going to fuck it up in some way. We released the Upsides. We did a release show run. And then literally the next day we started a tour with Man Overboard and Therefore I Am. And then we came home for, I'm going to say a week. And then we did a couple of weeks with Crime and Stereo. And then we came home for another week. And then we toured out to California with Such Gold, back from California with Set Your Goals, flew right to the UK, did our first, we did 5 DIY shows and then our first Slam Dunk. And then went to mainland Europe with 4 Years Strong and Fireworks. Came home from that, had 3 weeks off-ish, 2 weeks off. In that time frame, we had to buy a new van, which is a whole other disaster story that I won't bore you with. And then jumped into like 6 weeks with Streetlight Manifesto. Had maybe a week off, jumped into a couple weeks with Newfound Glory and Lemuria, and then went right to Australia. And then right home into a full US with 4 Years Strong and Comeback Kid. And the day we got home, we started writing Suburbia. We wrote for 5 weeks, took a week off for the holidays, toured to California. The day after the show in California, we went into the studio, made the record for 4 weeks-ish. The morning we finished, we did a 24-hour session to finish it and went right from the studio to the airport, flew to the UK and started the Kerrang tour with Good Charlotte and 4 Years Strong. Came home and immediately went into dates with Man Overboard and Handguns, and then into a B market with Fireworks, Such Gold, and Living with Lions, which went... At some point, we went to Australia with Parkway Drive, and then we did our first Warped Tour, and then that went right into a tour with Newfound Glory and Set Your Goals, and then I think we took our first like month off.
Wow.
Deserved. Well-deserved month off, after all.
Fucking hell, what a story.
Yeah. And that's like my best remembrance of that. There's shit that I'm missing. Like, we had to go into the studio at one point to record B-sides. We did a bunch of like one-offs. So like, if you look, if you have that book and you go through and you find the calendar, it's just like every date is marked off.
That's insane.
And a lot of the dates that aren't marked off were like writing sessions for the B-sides, or like rehearsals, or they're just like music video shoots. There just was not, it was every minute of every day we were like living and breathing the thing. I don't even remember the question now because I went so long.
it's manic to see that like, those records are obviously connected with so many people, and I think they're really considered kind of cult classics for the band. So to see that you were so busy during that time, you know, you weren't just somewhere being creative and trying to work out the best plan for them. You were literally on the road, and this is just all the time you had, I think speaks testament to the wonder years, right?
I think that you can even, again, if you have that box set, and I would love to reissue it now because it sold out in about 15 minutes, which really shocked us. And then we repressed it, and then that sold out in a couple hours. And then we were like, well, we don't have, you know the way vinyl plants are right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We're trying to get our new record pressed. Like, we don't have time to press like reissues right now, but I want to reissue that box set because I think it's really cool. But the last of the four LPs in the box set has like really bad demos. Which is like, not, that doesn't sound like I'm selling you on it or buying it.
Right? Do you know what? I'm gonna fucking get it now. Awful demos, eh?
They fucking suck. But the idea was like a how the sausage gets made thing, right? Yeah. So like, it's like iPhone demos, and we were writing it, like we were writing songs on tour, and like, so there's one, and I was so stressed because this is when we were doing the like couple days I said with Newfound Glory in Lemuria, and we were staying. They were doing it in between a tour with Paramore. Like, it was like the off day shows. So there were a couple of days off in a row where they were doing shows with Paramore. We were in Alabama staying at this house / venue called God's Butt, which is a great name for a venue.
What? I don't know, Monsieur Darren. I was like, don't repeat that in case you've got it wildly wrong. God's Butt.
You are correct. Yeah. The butt of God. Yes. It's God's Butt.
Wow.
And, Luke from he was in Make Do and Men and Tiger Shaw lived there, among a bunch of other people. So God's Butt, and I was so stressed about having to write this record that I had this dream, right? And in the dream, the record was done, and I told my uncle that I would clean out this spare room in his house because I needed an excuse to put my headphones in and listen to a record. And he was like, all right, go for it. And I put my headphones in, I pressed play on my phone, and I heard myself singing a song that I had not written. And I woke up and was like, somebody get a fucking guitar. And there's this voice memo, and it's like tagged. It's like 8 a.m. and it's me and Nick in the kitchen of God's Butt. And it's the chorus of Don't Let Me Cave In that like I literally dreamt into existence.
That's mad.
Then there's another one that's us writing Coffee Eyes in the trailer outside of a show. And like, you can hear Kennedy drumming on a merch box in it. Like, that's how we were writing a lot of those songs. Because we're like, there's no time. There's no fucking time. Like, anytime you have an idea, we got to get it down on something because we have to get a record written in 5 weeks. And that felt crazy to us at the time. Still feels crazy, man. It takes us so fucking long to write a record now.
Yeah. As you said, it's just...
I can't get over you. You've remembered a dream melody. That seems mad. I can't remember my own dreams now. Let alone like specific melody. Like, have you ever had any of them? Have you had any others since?
I have, but every time I wake up and record the melody on my phone, I listen back next morning. I'm like, that sucked. It wasn't good at all. But that one ended up being Don't Let Me Cave In, which is one of our like most important songs of our career. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you, Dream Mate. You know what? I had a... Never mind. I don't have to talk to you about dreams. This is...
Tell us about your dreams. Go for it.
Well, I just... I was thinking about... So I told this story to my wife the other day, where a million years ago in high school, Nick, Matt, and I from Wonder Years were in a band called The Premiere. And the first record label ever reached out to us, funny enough, was a label called Megaforce, which you might remember as being the label that released like early Metallica stuff. They're like a metal label. And there was a guy that worked there named Greg, and we called him Gregaforce. And they had this like very short-lived indie rock sub-label. And he was like, I think that your band would be good for this. And we met with the guy, and he had been hit by a car and had like neck surgery. And so this was the first day he was going out without his neck brace. And so whenever he would talk to us, he would try to cross the street, but he couldn't look both ways. And I was like, don't cross. And I could not remember the name of the label though, like the sub label. And I woke up last night and I had remembered it in a dream. I was like, it was called Trans Dreamer. I was like, what are you talking about?
That's crazy.
But like my like subconscious gave it back to me. It was like, you have this memory somewhere. Here it is. Trans Dreamer Records tried to sign, or didn't really try to sign. They had a meeting with us and never, that was the end of it. They were like, these kids are idiots. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Well, you mentioned going to Russia there. How was that for you? Because I've never been there. I just wonder how it is for bands.
It was, I don't know how it is for bands. I know how it is for us. And it was the same level of like DIY-ness, right? So no work visas. None of that. Okay. Can you stand another long story? Is that okay?
Yeah. This podcast is four long stories and everything. So you go for it.
People listening to this podcast are fucking sick of you, Remy and Morgan. Right. So please talk.
So we played Dublin, and then we were taken to the airport. It's 5 a.m, and we flew from Dublin to London City Airport, which is not near anything. Again, no guitars, right? We don't have guitars or anything. Like all we have are these big, long, probably 4 foot long duffel bags of merch. No personal clothing, except for what we shoved in those bags. And we would take them and throw them over our shoulders. And you'd hold them like this, and it would U around your head. We had to take a bus and a couple of tubes and then a train to get from London City Airport to London Heathrow Airport. We had like 5 hours to do it. And then we flew from Heathrow to Geneva, and we had a layover overnight in the airport. I think it was like Spain or Portugal. And it was like a display, like a vacation display that had like lounge chairs, like beach chairs. And I like slept in the beach chair display for a while. Also, I think the weirdest thing that happened was, over the loudspeaker where there would normally be like music playing, someone in the airport who thought that they were alone cleaning was just playing porn over the speakers. It's very weird and uncomfortable to be like in an airport overnight trying to hide from security because if you're not supposed to be there, and like one of the janitors is just blasting porn over the loudspeaker. It's very weird. Woke up the next day. So that was Geneva, flew to Zurich, and then had a half an hour to fly into Moscow. Got into Moscow, no work visas. We have no idea how to fill out the paperwork to get into the country. And there are just dudes with fucking assault rifles everywhere. And we borrowed someone's phone to try to call the promoter, who again is a kid, right? It's like an 18-year-old kid and his friends. You know, at this point, we're 21. It's not like we're in any better shape. I think we just were like, we acted so confused at customs. They finally just let us in, and then they picked us up and we were like, okay, where's the van? Like, there's no van. You're in like five different cars, drove us to the venue. It was called the Chocolate Fabric because it was both at different points was a chocolate factory and a fabric factory.
Of course, Chocolate Fabric.
And I like, but basically, but I guess like the crux of this is like, okay, so we played Moscow, the St. Petersburg show got canceled. We played a place called Vladimir, and then we played Moscow again because the St. Petersburg show got canceled. there was never a van. We were taking like trains and buses and subways, and we would get to the subway, they'd be like, jump the turnstile. Like, there's no money to pay for this. And so we're like jumping turnstiles. We were on a train out to Vladimir, and the person tried to come collect the ticket money, and the people that we were with, the collective that booked it, just held the door shut so they couldn't get in, just laughed at them through the window. It was just a truly an absurd time. And again, like, we're sleeping like on the merch bags in like random apartments. And yeah, it was fucking weird. I mean, I could tell you a million little weird things about it, but I think the one that sticks out to me most is like, we were playing shows with no barricades and whatever, and people would want to sing along. When I would give them the mic, I would put my thumb out so that as I was letting people sing into the mic, my thumb would touch their cheek before the mic would, so that I didn't bash anyone's teeth out. It was just like a little safety measure that I put in. And you know how, like, when you're playing guitar and you touch a microphone and you close a circuit sometimes and you get shocked? That was happening when I was touching the crowd. And I was like, how is this possible? Like, is electrically charged here that I'm getting shocked whenever I make contact with a person? It was a truly weird experience. And like, again, like, as DIY as it could possibly get. And like, we never really knew where we were or where we were going. We were just following people. And like, no one's English was great. So they were just like, come with us this way, dudes. We'd be like, okay.
I love the idea that we've now got a conspiracy that everybody in Russia is electric. So is now made of electricity. So that's good news.
If I had to wager some sort of guess, I would say that there was like a grounding issue with like the floor. Yeah. I don't fucking know. Who knows? It was weird.
Who knows? But it's safe to say that, you know, the wonder is you've definitely paid your dues with some crazy touring schedules and stuff over the years. But as you mentioned there, I mean, obviously the band is always kind of being put into that alternative pop punk kind of scene and genre and stuff. But you're a band who've connected with so many different audiences as well. You mentioned touring with Parkway Drive, you've done stuff with Enter Shikari and Let Live over the years, and it always feels to me that the Wonder Years is more than just another pop punk band. You have this whole kind of connection with people. Have you ever been able to kind of wrap your head around maybe why the Wonder Years is so different in that regard?
Well, I think as far as like us playing with other genres to start, it's when we were first touring, there was no scene for the kind of music we were playing at the time, right? There were bands that were, we used to call them best pop bands. You know, they were bands full of people that were playing that era's version of pop punk, but it wasn't what we were doing, and we weren't particularly invited to that party, which was fine. We don't have to be invited to everything, right? That's I'm not saying that in like a sour grapes way. Just that's just what it was. And so when I was booking the DIY touring, almost everything we were playing were hardcore shows, because that was the community that was like, okay, you're welcome to come play here. And so that was like, you know, that was what DIY was set up for in those days. So I think that a lot of it is we came up playing with hardcore bands, and so we never felt out of place. I will say that Parkway Drive were incredibly kind to us. So, so nice. Their audience deeply fucking hated us. Just these were like 4,000 to 8,000 cap arenas. And we were like, we played a million hardcore shows. This will be fine. And it was not. We would finish a song and you would hear one of the three following sounds: silence, booze, or Parkway Drive chants. We were getting pelted with shoes and ice and basically the whole night. They didn't like us, which is, again, fine. That's your prerogative. But what was troubling for me is I had also lost my voice very badly. So I was like, man, not only do they hate us, we also suck. I'm playing like shit. And so I can't even change their minds. You can't even like, let me go. Let me try to convince you that we're worth your time. It was like, who is this band full of non-metal idiots, and why are they awful? but as far as why we have been able to connect with a lot of different people, I think our lyrics are hard on their sleeve enough that people can, if they connect to the lyrics, they can be a part of it. And also, I think that it's part of it is how welcoming we try to be. We really do our best to try to make sure the shows are as inclusive and accommodating as they can be. You know, everything from, like, we try to have our light show rated by a charity called Lead DIY that will rate light shows for light sensitivity and put warnings up. We, in America, there's something called the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is like it, the level of compliances that a place has to have as far as ramps or accessible bathrooms, accessible seating. Before a tour, we work with a charity called Half Access, and we go through and find all of the venues that we're playing that are not already in their database. And then we send them a questionnaire. So you have to answer this and tell us all before we're willing to announce the shows. We actually held off our announce on our tour for 2 weeks because people hadn't answered this. We got to know all of your accessibility information because, as Cassie at Half Access has told me many, many times, if a venue is inaccessible, but it's the only place you can play, I don't fault you for playing it, right? You have to do your job. My problem or Cassie's problem has always been when I don't know the situation that I'm getting into and I pay money for a ticket or I don't buy a ticket because I don't know what the situation is. I bought a ticket. I get to the show. I can't actually get into the show, right? They don't have an elevator and it's upstairs. Well, I just wasted that money. Or I didn't buy a ticket because I was worried about that. And then I come to find out after the show is sold out, it was totally accessible and I could have enjoyed the show. So we try to make sure that information is plain to everyone. We try to make sure that there are gender neutral bathrooms available. If the show is during Ramadan, we try to make sure that people can bring food in to break fast, things of that nature. And I think that lets people know that they are welcome. They're welcome at a Wonder Years show. Everyone is welcome. And so I think that helps in widening the amount of people that are interested in the band because they feel like I'm cared for here and I will be treated with respect here.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. I wanted to just touch on, was that Parkway tour the strangest or weirdest tour that you've done for reactions?
Yeah. I would say it would have to be. Obviously, Shikari is a strange tour, but I think the thing about Shikari, when we were offered that tour, we asked all of our friends, what do you think about us performing Shikari? I mean, we don't sound anything like that. And what they said was, well, no, neither does anyone else. Shikari is singular. No one on the planet sounds like Shikari. And so they can't tour with fans that sound like them. And so their fan base is accustomed to being open-minded to what is coming. The Parkway tour was originally called the Mix and Mash tour. And the idea was that it was going to be Parkway Drive, I believe, Bleeding Through, The Wonder Years, and Yumi at Six. So it was supposed to be a genre mash. Yumi at Six had to cancel, and in their place, Parkway booked Miss May I. And so instead of it being kind of like a little bit of each, it ended up being like a metal tour with us, which again, like we were just happy for the opportunity. And Parkway were really, really, truly wonderful to us, really kind and accommodating and very, very helpful in making it happen. But yeah, we ended up on a tour that we ended up on a metal tour.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you mentioned there about reconnecting with people with lyrics as well. And obviously, apart from the Wonder Years, you're very busy with loads of different projects with Aaron West and the Roaring Twenties. And last year, you put out your first real solo record as well, kind of revisiting songs you've written for other people. Is there a certain way you approach songwriting or just lyrics for these different projects? Because it does seem the kind of Aaron West, you kind of do a bit more of a character. So instead of the solo work, you've written songs for other people in mind. I mean, do you feel like it's separate identities for you when you go into these different projects?
Yeah, it does tend to be because the Wonder Years traditionally is very me, right? It's like I am the narrator here. I am the source of information is Dan Campbell. And so, yeah, you're going to get a lot of me. And like, I will obscure details or semi-fictionalize accounts to protect people in my life who may not want to be so obviously, you know, mentioned. But you're ostensibly getting me. Aaron West is fully fictionalized, right? That is an entirely different universe that exists. And so it is a character. All of the songs are written from the perspective of the character. all of the narrative is fiction. But what I think is really interesting about it, and, you know, shout out to Mark Andrews here if we're talking about it, is that I think that it is an art form most closely correlated with pro wrestling, in the sense that, like, okay, yes, it is a rock show, right? That is what you're going to get if you're coming to an Aaron West show. Or maybe, I don't know, rock might be the wrong term. It's kind of like an Americana folk punk thing, whatever. Well, I don't give a shit, right? Genre names are not super important to me, but you're going to get a band performing. You're getting a show. But it's fictionalized and I'm playing a character. So you might say, okay, well, this is kind of like musical theater, except it's not, because musical theater is somewhat static in the sense that what happens night to night on stage is the same thing. It is the same story arc being performed. And obviously there's nuance, but and slight changes, but the story will be the same broadly. Aaron West, because Aaron West exists in this like specific canonical universe where everything that's happening is happening to the character in real time, and I'm playing the character on the show or in the show on stage, what happens at the show could conceivably affect the narrative moving forward. And the only art form I can think of that is live wherein the actions one night affect the universe and the story moving forward is pro wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what, if Mark is wrestling Pete Dunne and gets his eye gouged out, well, then the next night he's going to come out with an eye patch on. And so like what happened the night before affects the next night. And I don't think that there are a lot of art forms that do that. And so I think that's kind of what's interesting about Aaron West.
Mm.
Yeah. Bloody butch gouging eyes. Bloody butch.
No, but it is, it's kind of like, you know, your persona, your gimmick and kind of thing in terms of in wrestling with that. And wrestling is being a huge other love of your life, really. And I'm sure it's kind of helped you through a lot of different aspects, as well as music and just kind of taking your mind off things as well.
Yeah. So I, what's funny for me is I loved wrestling growing up. I loved it. And then the way I try to talk about this is like, I wanted to be in a band for a living really, really bad. It's the thing that I wanted most, but I just knew that I was not as talented as a lot of other people. And I went to, what do y'all call high school?
High school. But yeah
I call it high
okay,
school.
Okay, so how many people did you graduate with, you know? A lot of people say, you know, for a lot of people, it's like 100, 300, right? My class was 1,100. That's just my class.
Wow.
I went to a massive high school, bigger than a lot of universities. And so there's a lot of talent at that school in a lot of different ways. And in the music programs, man, so much talent. And so I just knew everyone was better than me. And so I knew that if I wanted this, it just meant around the clock working. It meant being focused on it all of the time. And so I lost every hobby I had. I had no hobbies left. When I was at work, if I had a minute, I'm writing songs. If I'm in class and I have a minute, I'm routing tours. And then it became our job. And in like 2011, it had become our job. And we were on the Warped Tour and I realized this is my job now. And I had a bad day at work. And I didn't know what to do. No idea what to do with myself, because my refuge from a bad day at work was the band. But now that the band is the work, a bad day at work means that the band was difficult. And where do you go? And it just so happened to be the night that CM Punk cut the pipe bomb promo on John Cena. And we were watching it on the bus. And I was like, holy shit, wrestling is amazing.
Yeah.
I forgot how amazing wrestling was. And that kind of reinvigorated my relationship with wrestling.
Yeah, oh, and then he fucked off forever, bastard. Like, yeah,
well, he's back now.
He's very much back. Yeah,
I cried when he came back. So that's saying something. But I'm sure you've had like a lot of connections with wrestlers, and they're kind of your music inspiring them. Obviously, we've mentioned good friend of ours, Mark Andrews. But is there anyone else you kind of met over the years and had that kind of relationship with?
I think the closest is Do I use the gimmick name? Is this gimmick? The closest is Seth Rollins.
Nice.
He and I talk probably weekly, a couple times a week. he has a daughter named Rue. And so we talk parenting, we talk football, we talk wrestling, we just shoot the shit. It wasn't even a thing that people knew, but we did this rollout for our new single, and there was a phone number you could call and a voice would read you a lyric from the song. The voice is Seth Rollins. It wasn't an advertised thing, but he just has such a good fucking voice that, and he's married to Becky Lynch. And so, you know, like we were in LA making the record. I wanted to meet Rue. And so I went up to their place and, you know, just got to hang out with the kid who's so fucking cute. I would say that's my closest wrestling relationship.
That's insane. Oh, fair play.
Because we love wrestling. Sometimes we have wrestlers on the podcast and stuff. So every time we hear somebody's friends with a wrestler, you get that reaction when I just stayed at the window and, nice. That must be real nice. Don't get me wrong. I'm friends with White Lightning Mark Andrews. I'm happy with that. But yes, it must be fantastic to be friends with the...
It's really cool. It's been very cool to watch him grow, because when we first were friends, it wasn't even called NXT yet. It was FCW. And I think that there's video of him doing a Phoenix Splash into the crowd at our show in Tampa off the stage as a stage dive. And just to watch him go from that to...
Was he Tyler Black then? Was he Tyler Black at the time then?
That was just when he started being Seth Rollins. Very, very beginning of Seth Rollins. It was like he had just stopped using God's Last Gift as a finish and was touring with the Phoenix Splash as a finish, or he was doing a super kick to someone on their knees, and it was like named after I think it was the Killing Curse from Harry Potter. It was like Avada Kedavra or something. I remember when they put him in the video game and he told them that was the name of it, but he didn't tell him it was a Harry Potter thing.
Did he get in trouble for it? Did he have any backlash?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. It just you know, but anyway, I don't want to talk too much about Seth and his finishes, but like it's just been cool to watch him go from not yet in the main show to being the draw, right? Like the top of it. Getting to watch him cash in at Mania and take the strap for the first time, and then being married to Becky and having the two of them be like, honestly, like two of the most powerful forces in the industry in a very long time I'm just intensely proud of him.
And he also took the greatest RKO of all time, I think. So that one
was off of the blackout. Yeah.
Say it again, Dan, off the what?
After the blackout.
That's it, yeah, because he named his finishing move after my band that he's never heard in his life, I bet.
I bet he has. He's actually really plugged in this world of music.
Well, next time you speak to him, just go, oh, do you remember a shit band from the UK called The Blackout? And then he'll say, God, no. Or, oh, fuck yeah.
And then tell him to come on this, and then we'll just talk music with him. Yeah,
and cool. Then you're all set.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Dan, as we start to wind down here, two last things I would love to talk to you about before we wrap up. Obviously, you've mentioned making a new record. I just put out a new single now in Oldest Daughter. And what else can you really tell us about this album now and kind of just the process and what can we expect?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I think that it's hard because I can't talk too much about the record yet. I mean, I guess I could, right? Like, conceivably, but I think people would be mad at me. The idea, though, we are just waiting to confirm because of the difficulty of vinyl timelines right now. We are a band that, like, records matter to our fans, and having them as part of the process of releasing it. We're not like a streaming service band. We are, people love to have the physical record. And so we're waiting to find out when those physical records will arrive. And that will allow us to say, okay, the record is coming out this day. And once we know that for sure, we can put up a pre-order and we can announce the record and we can talk all about it. But because we don't know for sure yet, we got tired of waiting and we wanted people to hear some of these songs. I can tell you this about the record. I feel very confident that it is the best Wonder Years record. I feel very confident in that. And I feel very confident that if you love the Wonder Years, that this will be your favorite. It feels like it would be impossible for that not to be the case. That's the way I feel about it. That's how confident I am. That's how strong I feel about the songs. It just, as a whole, listening through, and I do a lot because my kid loves it so much. And so every day when I take him to daycare, that's what he wants to listen to.
Aww.
And so I listen to the record a lot. And every time I listen, I'm just like, damn, it really is. This is our best work. I don't think that it's even a question. I think it's our best work.
Nice. Well, that's the seal of approval you need, really. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, man. And obviously throughout the years, I'm sure you've seen many people with kind of tattoos of your lyrics and everything. But when you started this band, did you ever imagine that you would inspire so many people to get Hank the Pigeon tattooed? Because I've seen quite a few, and I know a lot of people with that tattoo.
No, I did not. It's a trip every time, right? It's like, it's hard. What's really crazy to me is when I think about it in the context of the ways that my friends and I consumed music and were obsessed with artists. And like, I know so many people that have the Get Up Kids robot tattooed on them. And I know that they have it tattooed on them because I know how much the band means to them. And so when I kind of extrapolate that out and go, okay, well, these people have Hank the Pigeon tattooed on them. So in a way, we are their Get Up Kids. That's where my mind fucking explodes to this day. I don't know why this is the thing, but more than the tattoos, the thing that always got me is people would tell me, I would listen to it on the way to school when I would drive myself to school, and then would be so excited to get out of school to put it on to drive home. And I remember that feeling about bands, about like, it would get me out of bed in the morning because I knew that I could get in my car and put, at this point, like literally, like I'm downloading songs from LimeWire and viruses, songs and viruses.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Half the songs you downloaded were Soulja Boy. Definitely. By accident.
I'm staying up until 2 in the morning to get them to download, and then I'm arranging them on a CD and burning myself a CD, and it would get me out of bed in the morning to know I'm going to go listen to that new song that I'm really, really excited about. And then listen to it on the way to school, sneak my CD player in, and in the hallways between classes, pop my headphones in to take, just to be able to listen to 90 seconds of it that I loved so much. And then just think about all day, just thinking about, man, as soon as I get out, I'm going to go to my car and I'm going to put this record on and just fucking roll the windows down and scream it. And the fact that people told us that we were that band for them was the thing that made me feel like, oh my God, we made it. That's what we affected a life in that way. And I know that at this point, like, people will tell us you've affected my life in much deeper ways, right? But like, something about that genuine, raw, unfiltered love of music, that comes from that level of excitement is the thing that really lands with me the most.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you so much, man, for taking the time to do this. I absolutely loved every second of it. It's been one hell of a journey, and just, yeah, can't wait for this new record and to see you at a Slam Dunk now very soon.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, the one you're doing Slam Dunk at Slam Dunk North, we are playing all of the upsides. At Slam Dunk South, we are playing all of Suburbia. At Bournemouth, the warm-up show, we're playing both records. And the entire week before that, the full 8-piece Aaron West and the Roaring Twenties is doing its UK debut. So I would say that's a thing not to miss, especially if you've seen me do Aaron West solo. It's just like a totally different experience to have the horn section up there and the keys. And it's really, I thought about this a lot. I think that like the thing about Aaron West, the usefulness in Aaron West is bringing joy to dark places and how to be able to perform these very lyrically heavy songs with this like 8-piece band that is so happy to be playing music in front of people is like a really truly like interesting and cool experience that I recommend everyone try to have.
Nice. Well, yes, thank you very, very much for coming on, Dan. This has been fucking fantastic. I've enjoyed it. I love your positivity. I love that you're fucking emanating it. You're emanating positivity. And I love that. And again, Junior, send their love. Thank you very much to Adam Parslow for helping us sort this out.
Yes.
We've loved it.
The Nightmares are on that Aaron West tour. I should have said that. The Nightmares and a band called Me Rex that Anna, our agent, was like, hey, check out this band. And I listened to this song called Skin It Itches and was like, this is the most enthralled I've been with a song in years. It's just a truly unbelievable song. So yeah, Me Rex and the Nightmares are on that Aaron West run. And like I said, Pink Shift is on that that one of yours one off.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, hopefully at Slam Dunk we can get together and have a chat. Can't wait to see you. Have a good one. Stay safe.
Appreciate it, y'all, boys. Thank you very much for being cool about the time.
You're listening to Sammy Bogus!
Ay, ay, ay!
Woo! Oh, you blew my bloody eardrums up, and you did.
I got a big woo.
You have got a big woo. I saw it once when you get out of the shower the last time. Like, anyway, thank you very much to the brilliant Dan Campbell, who I keep nearly calling Aaron West every time I think of him. I wish he'd just stick to one of his bloody personas because it makes that a lot simpler for me. But yes, thank you very much to Dan Campbell. Thank you very much to the Wonder Years for the music over the years. But yeah, we had a great chat with him. You are probably now in love with him because he's such a nice guy, and I cannot talk positively enough about going to see the Wonder Years. You must go and see them if you are at Slam Dunk. It is now one of the many rules that Boris Johnson has recently put into law, into action. You have to see the Wonder Years, and you have to join our Patreon, unless you're a Tory. If you're a Tory, don't join our Patreon. If you're not a Tory, you're obliged.
Yes, that's a lot of useful information. I'm glad he's apparently said this, because normally what he said is a load of bollocks. But I agree, go and see the Wonder Years.
Nice.
And
slowly. Yes, excellent. Keep Morgan. Come to the dark side. You're not really. You come into the light side. Yeah, you come into the good side. But it's nice that I finally got you to talk shit on politicians. But yes.
I know. I just like to not.
Bastards, innit?
Swear. Yeah, they are. They're pissing me off a lot lately. But anyway, go and see the Wonder Years of Slam Dunk. Sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin, for a lot of extra bonuses there and get to be a part of this wonderful community. But I'm really looking forward to this new album they're currently working on. The singles they've released so far sound absolutely huge. And as I said, if you've missed the news, they will be performing both The Upsides and Suburbia live at both Slam Dunk dates now that Motion City Soundtrack are unable to perform at the event. The Wonder Years were supposed to play a special warm-up show in Bournemouth this week but had to cancel. They have said that will be rescheduled for November. So keep an eye on details around that. Maybe there'll be some extra dates with everything. And yeah, it's just nice to see someone from Pennsylvania having such a love for Newport and Welsh people in general. So like the weird connections, how these things work out. But I absolutely loving stories like that. You definitely wouldn't get anywhere else.
absolutely lovely chap, was taken aback when he said to mention Le Pub. What other news have we got for Slam Dunk? Oh, sadly, the Used have had to step out of Slam Dunk this year due to the drummer looking after his mental health. So, is it drummer?
No, it's
Did I make it up? Is it?
He signed it as Robert.
He did sign it as Robert. And I was like, it's not the drummer. The drummer's name is Dan. So absolutely sorry to hear that Bert isn't doing too well. Get well soon, brother. But yeah, Slam Dunk is going to be hell of a weekend. as some of you will know, as you are currently on your way, hopefully. But yes, I'm going to be DJing at Slam Dunk at both the Leeds and the Hatfield shows. Check out the Slam Dunk socials at Slam Dunk Festival for information on that.
Well, basically, the next 2 weeks for us are going to be absolutely jam-packed. Just quickly, just to let everyone know, just in case you're wondering what these two idiots are going to be getting up to.
Too much.
Today,
if it's a thing going on, we are fucking doing it, right? We are fucking doing it. Carry on, Morg. Sorry.
So we are in Leeds. Today, when this is released, we'll be at Leeds to Slam Dunk North. Then on the Saturday, we are at Slam Dunk South, covering both days of the festival, recording stuff for the podcast. On Sunday, we will be at the Heavy Music Awards because we are nominated somehow again for the best podcast.
I'm losing the award again. Yep.
And then next week, we will be at Download Festival Thursday to Sunday. We're going to be doing our first ever live podcast an audience, to people watching us.
Right. Do I say, please come and watch us? Or do I say, do us a favor? For your sake, don't fucking bother, will you? we are doing a live one of these. Oh, fucking hell. At Download, at the Dog Kennel Stage. Come to the Dog Kennel Stage because we are going to be talking. If you've ever wondered what we sound like from far away and more muffled, check out Download where we're going to be talking on stage. And we're hoping to have a guest or two with us to have a chat because God knows you're going to get bored of us two talking bollocks to each other.
Yeah, that's true. But if you've ever wondered what our faces actually look like when we're talking all this bollocks, you get to see it in the flesh, live at Downloads Festival on June the 9th. We're going to be at the festival for the rest of the weekend, recording loads of stuff for the podcast and stuff as well. So keep an eye on everything at Sapling Pod, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We might try and make more of those if they go successful and we end up with just one view on something. And we do have other announcements soon. It might be announced by now. Just go to our social media and you'll see it. But you get all the news first. Patreon.com/happening over there anyway. So, woo!
Nice. He is goddamn right about that. I want to say a big shout out to our Patreon community, some of which we met at the My Chemical Romance show in Cardiff and got a lovely picture with. So if you'd like to see that picture, check out patreon.com/Sapling. And yes, get in touch with us at Sapling Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, like Morgan said, about who you would like us to speak to next week at Download Festival. If there's anybody you know that you love that you would like for us to speak, tag both of us at Sapling Pod and at whoever the person you want us to talk to, because they're not psychic and they're not going to go, I've just had a tweet, I think, that's not directed at me, telling me to go on Sapling Podcast. So, yes, do that. It's going to be a fucking fun 2 weeks. It's either going to be a fun 2 weeks or the worst 2 weeks of my life. So, definitely subscribe to us to find out which of the two it's going to be.
Yes, there's going to be a lot going on, and you definitely need to find that out. But a massive thank you to our Patreon community needs to be said. So, if you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there, as always, that we thank. But Sean's going to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Sapling Podcast Patreon community.
Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Mahusev Leewaway, Janelle Caston, Piss Flaps, Mitch Perry, Dilly, I thought this was OnlyFans Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Tony Michael, Kat Besson, Dana Lasnova, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Piss Flaps, Amy Dawson, Kieran Olmley, Amy Louise, Alexandra Pembleton, Piss Flaps, Tom Owen, Caroline Robinson, Chris Auer, Joe Ackland, M. Evans Roberts, Jacob Edrington, Kate Patrick, Martina McManus, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury. And he said, Paul Kendlebury. Change your name, Carl. Danny Eaton, James McNaught, Craig Harris, Jenny Munster, Kelly Cannon, Jason Heredia, Emily Perry, John and Emma, who I'll be seeing on the weekend, Adam King of the Goths Parslow, he's a big part of this, Kalila Keane, Piss Flaps, Josh, what did the shipmates find in the toilet? The captain's log, Crisp. Thank you very much. Alice Wood, Reese Bowring, Kate Stevenson, Daniel Stevenson, Kyle David, there's an axe murderer on the loose. Media says his first name is Sean Smith. I get it, because me and Kyle have the same surname. Thank you very much, Connor Lewins. And last but no means least, Sammy G. Thank you guys very, very, very much. And everybody who's part of our Patreon, and anyone who's considering it, only Tories are not part of our Patreon. So if you're not a Tory, you must become a part of our Patreon. If you're a Tory, stay far away.
I didn't realise Piss Flaps was such a big supporter of us. They've mentioned themselves many times there, so...
Yeah, I think it's like a European name. I think it's, I think I pronounced it wrong. I think it's more peas flaps, okay. Flaps. I think it's a German name, peas flaps. I think it is.
Peas flaps.
You've really got to pronounce the A, flaps.
Flaps.
We've gone fucking mad. Oh, God alive. Anyway, come and fucking see us. I'm DJing a slam dunk. Me and Morgan are going to be about. If you say hello, shout. If you see us, shout Sapnin'. Great to see you. And all of that. At Sapnin' Pod on everything. I've lost my mind, Morg.
Yeah, we've gone a bit mental. Love everyone. Thank you for checking this out. Thank you for our Patreon to making this happen each and every week. We'll be back next Friday with a new episode and a very special guest. And until then, look after yourselves and enjoy festival season.
Oh, yes. I have to give a shout out as well to FaZe Games, also known as Kate, by sending me this new microphone. So if this sounds better than the other podcast, thank you very much to Elgato, because this, I think it sounds absolutely lovely and warm. I sound warmer than ever, I believe. So thank you very much to Elgato for sorting us out. And yes, see you all next week, I guess. Or at the festivals, are we fucking at, isn't it? Anyway,
Sapnin'!
You're listening to Sapnin' Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.